Heaven, we thank you again for this great honor, the wonderful privilege to come into your presence, to assemble together to hear your word. We take it not for granted, for truly, this is the word of the living God, not the word of man. And therefore, we recognize our inability in and of ourselves alone to be able to deliver this word as well as to receive it. And therefore, Father, we come to ask for your help. I, in particular, strip myself afresh of every confidence I may have in my knowledge, in my preparation. All that does not matter now. All I want is your mercy, Father. Mercy to be a faithful steward, to use what I prepared, use my knowledge to bring forth this word as a word in season, a word in the accuracy and power, in great clarity, yet in the love and the comfort of your spirit, so an eternal work is wrought in the hearts of lives of all that hear it now, physically, and all those who hear it remotely by electronic means, that wherever this word goes in all the earth, your power will back it, causing men not to be hearers only, but to be given grace to do the things which they hear and be blessed in all their deeds in the name of Jesus. I also ask that I speak, you happen to be concise. I will be precise, not saying anything unnecessary, bringing from the treasures of your word things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. I ask, my Lord, as I speak, your power and your presence will fill the air around us, breaking yokes, meeting every need, causing our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation knowledge of your word, our wills to be more humble and submitted to your will, O God, and our emotions to be controlled, tempered even more by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, especially divine love, in the name of Jesus. And as I speak also, help me, Lord God, to, Lord, duck now under the anointings of my fathers. I take upon me their mantles, and I ask you to help me, Lord, to be faithful, Lord, to the things they have taught all these years. As I speak, let the word go forth as a river of refreshing, bringing life and refreshing to all that hear it, but especially to them, that as they drink of this vine they have planted over the years, they will be tremendously satisfied, abundantly satisfied with the travail of their souls in me. I thank you, Lord, because you will do more than we can ask or can think. Because you are faithful, you will not lie to David. We say thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We want to thank God, which I believe the Lord laid upon my heart as of yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yesterday was Monday, Tuesday, right. It was on Monday night, I think. Well, this word is a word of exhortation. Very, very, I believe, word in season, which I was actually prepared something else. I had something else prepared. But, you know, as I was meditating and just, you know, reviewing what I heard, God, just, I believe, Lord spoke to my heart and said, bring this word. And it's so interesting. As I began to prepare it, I found out that it is actually, I believe, a word of, that is for this particular moment, this particular season. So it's a word of exhortation. And we're going to start in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And we'll start from verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 23, and we trust that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I've titled it Provoking to Love and Good Works. Amen. Provoking to Love and Good Works. Amen. Of course, if you read this, you can, you know, read the whole of it later, but this is a part that I believe the Lord emphasized to me as we begin to prepare this word. Let's read it. So verse 23. Are we there? Alright. So let us. This is something you and I have to do. Alright? Nobody's going to do it for us. It's something that is, number one, our responsibility and something which we have to do. It says, let us hold fast. Stop there again. Now holding fast is not just there for. It means that if you don't do the holding fast, something will slip. There's a shaking. It's not, you don't hold something fast. I mean, if you're in a bus and the bus or whatever is shaking, you're going to hold on to something and hold tight. Otherwise, you're going to be upended. So it says, let us hold fast, which implies there's a shaking or an attempt to dislodge you or dislodge something you do. Amen? And it says, let us hold fast without wavering. That also speaks to me. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but anyway, it's okay. Okay, let's read it and we'll come back. Let's hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us, I'm not hearing anybody except myself. And let us, see that, let us again. Responsibility, amen. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hello, folks. The day is not approaching. It's actually upon us. Which means that this exhortation is at work, an exhortation in season. Amen. But let's back to verse 23. I said, like I said, let us, it says, let us hold fast. Let us hold fast the profession or the confession of our faith without wavering. In other words, the Bible says that he that wavereth is like the wind of the waves of the sea, tossed to and fro. You know, Bible talks about being tossed by the back, every wind of doctrine. It says, let that man not think he shall receive anything of the Lord. So the essence here is to, it's getting us to become rooted and grounded in holding fast the confession of our faith so we will not waver. And there's only one reason why we won't do that. The Bible says, because he is faithful that has promised. The Bible says, I'm getting ahead of myself, it's okay. The Bible says, God is faithful who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear, but with every temptation will make a way of escape. Amen? So he's faithful that has promised. And his promise will not fail. God doesn't promise like men. Amen? Whenever he has promised you, he's well able to deliver and he will do it. But verse 24 is where I'm really going. This is such a wonderful verse. I've never read it before like this. I was preparing, the Lord now beat my mind. I said, read that again. I read it. I said, now read it in the Amplified. Now read it in the NIV. So I did. But let's go first and we'll read it. It says, verse 24. It says, let us... Again, it's something that we have to do. And it's, notice us, not one person. It's a corporate, universal thing. Amen. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, give me this in the Amplified. Let's see what it says. Oh, this is good. And let us, let's read it together. And let us, it's good to read together because when you read, that word goes into your heart. Amen. And becomes a part of your heart. It says, let us consider and give attentive, give all your attention, continuous care to do what? To watching over one another. Studying. In other words, it's not something you just do fleetingly. When you study something, you take hold of it, you look at it, you examine it this way, you look at it this way, you make references, your intention is totally focused. It's not a fly-by-night thing, something that just hits the top of your head and it goes. It says, study how we may stir up, stimulate, I love that word, incite, which means that you are, your action is injecting the same into somebody else. By doing what you do, you stimulate somebody else to do what you're doing. Amen? And incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. I love that. Let me see what it says in the NIV. And let us consider, this is even good too. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. When do you do this? When you see the day approaching. When you see the day approaching, much, and you do this much the more so as the day begins to approach. And there's a reason why. There are reasons why. That's why I believe the Lord gave us this. Because I was going to preach something. I had another message entirely planned. Totally. Amen. And it says, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another much the more as you see. So much the more as you see the day approaching, we make sure that we now begin to study how we can promote and incite and stimulate all of us, ourselves, to good works and good deeds and noble deeds. And that, those noble deeds are not for you. Well, thank God. Maybe some of you might do it. But I mean, the essence is that, you know, to stimulate another, to watch carefully, carefully consider. Where's that thing? Go back. Go back to verse 24. To provoke unto love and good works. To provoke others unto love and good works. How? By doing the same ourselves. Amen? So it's very important, but we'll get back to that in a minute, because that's where we're going to start and that's where we're going to end. So this, I believe, is what the Lord would have us do in this season, and this is what I believe He'll have us to talk about today, to exhort ourselves to do three things. Number one, hold fast without wavering. Number two, know that God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear. Number three, to provoke, this is very important, ourselves unto love. Love is the foundation, and good works, as we see the day approaching. Like we said, the day is not approaching, it is now imminent. Amen? So this exhortation is even more urgent and relevant. Now, the question is, what day is the scripture referring to? Of course we know what it is. The day of the Lord, the day of the manifestation of the glory, the day of the manifestation of the sons of God, the day of the return of Christ to His church in glory, coming suddenly, all these marvelous things. That day is this day. Amen? And the Bible says that in this day also, I remember what it says in Revelation, it says, hold fast that which thou hast, so that no man takes thy crown. But this is the day. We're actually in that day, amen? We must now give attention and continuous care to watching over one another, stimulating and stirring each other up to do acts of divine love, helpful deeds, noble deeds, amen? And so, we have been given this word of the Lord now, so that as far as we are concerned, in Nigeria, and in the Zion Church in particular in Nigeria, we've been given a word that this is a day of new beginnings. Everybody say new beginnings. New beginnings. Everything is starting afresh. Amen. Pastor Andrew was preaching the other day, mercy for new beginnings. Amen. Everything starts afresh and anew. Don't worry. It may look like it's the same old, but it's not the same in the Spirit. Amen. Oh, believe me, it's not the same. Amen. A day of new beginnings, a day of recompense, as well as a day of the vengeance of God. Give me Isaiah 35 and verse 4. Pastor preached this on the all night, the first service of the year. So we can take this to the bank. Isaiah 35 verse 4, please. Thank you. Can we do this? Say to them that I feel the fearful heart. Which implies in this day there will be some have fearful hearts. I mean, otherwise this scripture would not come up. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, what? Be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense. There is as a good, the good and the dreadful day of the Lord. Amen. Says one part is vengeance, another part is recompense. But look what he says, and he will come and save you. So even though your heart, a person's heart might be in fear, don't worry. God is on his way to bring salvation. And that salvation has come, not just we're going to talk about it later, your physical body, your mind, will, emotions, that's part of it. But also, even your circumstances. Amen. God is an all-round salvation. Total sozo. Amen. And so this is the new beginning for the Zion Church, and Nigeria, this land where the rivers divide, is a new beginning for us. And guess what? It's also a beginning for the whole earth. The reason is very simple. Nigeria, by the grace and mercy of God, according to the prophets, is the first of the first fruits of this end time. It's the first nation out of which the fullness of the perfection of Christ and the glory of God has never been seen before in the church is going to come forth out of. And it is from Nigeria that that spark of glory that will emanate, that will now spread to all the nations of the earth. So really, we're not just in a new beginning in Nigeria, it's actually a new beginning for the entire earth. That's what God is planning. That's why this thing is such a contention. That's why this thing is, it seems like you know, if things will break, it won't break. It will look like it will, but it will not, because God is faithful. Because God's word cannot return void. You know, so if we're standing on the word, we know that God is working His purpose out. Amen? But the truth of the matter is the whole earth, Bible says. Give me Romans chapter 18. And I'll show you why we are also, you know, Romans chapter 18, chapter 8, verse 19. Romans 8, 19. Thus is the whole of, you're not going to see too many new scriptures today. These are things that we already know. But we're putting them together to bring out a message for the hour that we are now in. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creature. Creatures as creation, the worlds that we see, beginning with our world here. Of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Hello, sons of God. Oh, the whole of creation is waiting for you and I. Amen. I just said that. It sounds so flippant. But that is one of the deepest statements that you will ever hear. It says the whole of God's creation. Pastor sent me an email this morning, and I read it this afternoon. And, you know, I was saying to, well, I think it was Wednesday last, talking about the treasures of darkness. And I said that the human brain has about 60 billion neurons. So Pastor, of course, precision scientist that he is, sent back the message, said, nope, has 80 billion. And apart from that, he has all kinds of connections and radiations. What am I saying? I said, folks, each one of you is God. Potential God. And he's put an entire world universe in your mind to subdue the whole of creation with. Amen. Only Pastor Wally said amen. You know, we say these things like, how can? You're looking at yourself like yourself. You're not looking at yourself the way God made and created you. In his image, in his likeness. May the Lord give us understanding. The whole of creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Next verse. For the creation itself was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Next verse. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Now, so there's a status quo now, but the manifestation of the sons of God is to change that status quo into the new thing, the new beginning, which God is bringing, which is the glorious liberty of the sons of God. That's why there's a contention. And guess what, folks? You are now on the front line. You're on the front. People didn't say amen because they don't want to fight. You are, whether you say amen or you don't say, you are on the cutting edge, front line. When they shoot the arrows, you are the one in line to receive it first. But thank God for the shield of faith. Amen. Amen. That's what we're preaching is. But it delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the Son of the children of God. Next verse. And it says now, we know that the whole creation, how many people are groaning and travailing? Hallelujah. All right, few of us. Whether you do it or you know, it is true. Because that's the only thing that can keep you, sustain you in this season we're in. It says, the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. Next verse is where I'm going. And not only they, but ourselves also. We too who have the first fruits of the Spirit. We too who have the first fruits of the manifestation of the power of the Spirit without measure. We too, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to witness the redemption of our body. Folks, this is what's about to break forth. This is the real breakthrough. Breakthrough. Amen. The breaker coming is about to break forth. And like I said, Nigeria's in the vanguard, and folks, the battle is fierce. Frontline fierce, so. Amen? Frontline fierce. But we've been given a word that also concerns us so that we will not be afraid. In Nigeria's a time of recovery. Hallelujah. Everybody say recovery. In Nigeria's a time of restoration. Everybody say restoration. In Nigeria is a time of release. Everyone say release into Jubilee. So all this in the background is working for us, like the Bible says, a far more eternal weight of glory. Amen? So we're not afraid. We're walking towards, and God's word will not return void. Amen? Now, it's for our nation, Nigeria, but it's also for every one of us individually, our homes and families. Why? Because as the church goes, so goes the nation. So this word is not just for Nigeria. Thank God for Nigeria. My mommy spoke it. She spoke it as a prophet to the four corners of this land. But who is going to bring it? God is going to do it. The Bible says that the earth he gives the sons of men. He's going to do it through his church in this land. That's why there's tension. That's why there's contention. That's why some of us are feeling the fire. Heat. Heaviness. Amen? So for each of us, the church is made of homes and families, fathers, mothers, children like you and I. So for each home, there has to be a recovery. Each home has to have a restoration. Each home has to have release. Amen. Number one, let's say recovery. Give me 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 8, quickly. 1 Samuel 30 verse 8. We breeze through this and see how it can help us. Just give us an understanding of what's going on. 1 Samuel 30 verse 8. And it, 30. The last chapter in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 30. I believe my Yibu not you know rich. 30. You got it? First time of 30. Verse 8. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue after this troop? You know the story, the David, this is amazing, you know. This same David, about two chapters ago, the guy was saying he's going to die, just everything. He didn't know that God was already preparing his, you know, the thing he'd be waiting for. He was preparing his, you know, him for the throne already. But he thought, well, you know, Saul's going to kill me one day. Well, let me just run away and go and stay at Gath or Lachish or whatever they were. You know, so he went away. But God had already started working. But anyway, the truth of the matter is, he went to fight with the Philistines, but they told him, you can't fight with us, so go back home. So on his way back home, he now was going to Ziklag, found out that the enemy, the Amalekites, had come and he had taken everything he had. Amalekites are tied for the flesh. Let's read it. I want to bring up something here. So he said, so when it happened, they the people wanted to stone him. But he said, David said, you know, verse 8 said, shall I pursue after this troop? Inquire the Lord. And the Lord said, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. This is the word of the Lord to each one of us in our homes. Without fail. In other words, it's not something you're going to do. It's something God is going to do through you, for you. So you don't have to worry. Amen. We're getting the last restoration. That's not recovery. This is what Amalek stole. Difference. A little different. But it's the same essence. Let's read it once again. And then verse 18 said, David recovered all. Verse 18. And David recovered. Notice it's David. It kept on saying David. Didn't say the band. They're David. That is an indication that this Zion church is involved. Because we are the tabernacle of David, the dynasty of David. So the dynasty of David recovered all that Amalek had carried away. Amalek is a type of the flesh that robs you of the sin nature, the mind, the will, and emotions, and your physical body, that robs you of all that God has given to you, all that is dear and near to your soul. Hello, somebody. So you're going to get all that back by the power of the blood, the word, and the spirit. Amen. How are you going to do this? Daily prayer, cluster groups, enforcing the kingdom prayers, prayer for the nation, all these marvelous things we've been doing, using the blood, the word, and the spirit. But the essence is you're going to recover all. Nothing will be lacking unto us of all that the flesh has stolen. Nothing. Then number two, restoration. Give me Joel chapter 2, verse 23, and we'll read from there. Joel chapter 2, verse 23. Notice this is happening now. It's not a future thing. Amen? Now, Joel, let me see. I need to see something there. Joel chapter 2. Hallelujah. We're going somewhere with all this. Joel. Wait, I'm in Jonah. Sorry. Okay, let me read it from the board. Okay. Say, be glad then. Now, look again. The first one was David, which is said as a type of Zion. Now he says, now be glad then, when then, now, this day, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. Now, Just a minute here. If you read up earlier on, you find out that this end product that God is talking about here begins with fasting and prayer, calling a solemn fast in Zion, the bridegroom leaving the chamber and everybody coming together to praise, a corporate assault against the powers of darkness that have held this up so far. That's what we're doing. It's going on as we speak. That's why we said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, much the more so. In other words, as the day comes, we need to do more of that. We need to add more to ourselves. Everybody stand in his own place. Amen. I said, we are talking like a soldier today. We are soldiers. But he says, this is it. He says, and then be glad, you children of Zion, and rejoice for the Lord, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain bodily, and will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. He's talking about the manifestation of the Spirit without measure. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and with oil. Next verse. And I will restore to you the years, many years, that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the powerworm, my great army which I sent among you. Next verse. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Praise the name of the Lord God that deals wondrous with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. The essence is this. God is bringing your harvest. This is a harvest. All those seeds that were sown that have not germinated, now God is going to bring in that harvest. What happened before was that all the palm worm, the caterpillar, the palm worm, they chopped the harvest. Hello? They chopped the harvest. But this day, in this time of restoration, God is going to return to you, restore everything that they have stolen from you. Amen. And you're going to eat in plenty, you'll be satisfied, you praise the name, you not remember all the old days. So do I do a new thing, and now it springs forth. Amen. This restoration is a returning to the Lord with prayer and fasting to bring a harvest. All this is happening as we speak. And then finally, release. Bible, the pastor was talking about release. Mommy was talking rather about release. That this is a year of Jubilee. The pastor was saying it's a year of Jubilee as well as a Shemitah year. So Jubilee and Shemitah together. So you can even say it's a double release. Amen. Amen. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. Leviticus chapter 25, won't go there because of time, but the essence is there's going to be a release and every debt is going to be canceled. You're going to eat the increase out of the field. I mean, the fields are going to get very, very white with the crops, with the harvest, and you'll be chopping the increase. Hello, somebody. I don't know if that does excite anybody here. What that tells me is that the day of lack has gone. Now God is moving his church. And it must be so. Like I keep saying, the kings aren't going to come because they see miracles. They see economic viability. They must see the money flow. They must see that there's something here that we don't know about, that we don't have. That's why he's going to come, folks. And so this is it. So we're going to eat the increase out of the fields, and the glory will be made manifest in the church. Whoever says, you know, this is the year of the acceptable year of the Lord, and this is all happening individually now in our lives. Amen. Now I know. Somebody say, well, it's happening, but Lord, I haven't seen anything yet now. How about? And I'm going to have harvest. That my garners will be full, affording all manner of store. My sheep will bring forth thousands and 10,000 in the streets. My oxen are going to be strong. All that. We haven't seen anything. Oh, Lord, have mercy. What's going on? Don't worry. The Bible says the vision is for an appointed time. It says, don't eat tarry. Wait for. See, don't get ahead of God. God is working on your case. Now, God and you are different in the sense that God makes sure that everything is ready and prepared. He doesn't jump out before the time. Says, judge nothing before the time. When the time comes, you will see it. Your job is to remain steadfast. Your job is to keep on pushing. Your job, our job, my job, is to remain in the place of that prayer, believing and faith, trusting God that he who has promised will surely bring it to pass because he is faithful. Tell your neighbor, God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able. His faithfulness to you and his word concerning you will not fail. Amen. Take it to the bank. Take it to the bank, folks. If you have seen God fail before, put your hand up. Ah, one person put their hand up. Say, God has failed. God has failed. I'm sure you didn't hear what I said. The guy was waving furiously. I don't feel it. Well, maybe you want to see me after the service. I'll set one or two things right there. You know what we think God fails? Because he's not as quick as we want him to be. We judge God by human standards. God is a God that stretches from eternity to eternity and beyond. He doesn't have the same time frame we do. So what you're thinking is, surely God has forgotten me. Surely, you know. God is still working. He's still there, and you're the one that's looking to leave. And God says, I haven't even begun. I haven't started on you yet. And you've already given up. You will not give up in Jesus' name. Folks, be careful. I was in the observe lying vanities. All right. So, question. Now, why all this now? Why is all this so important that we understand this? Number one, when you look around, like I've just said, I didn't know I was going to this portion, but I was ready. When we look around, we see that instead of things getting better, conditions are getting worse. I can't remember what of course, we all know what's going on in Nigeria. I don't remember what the dollar is saying now. But last time I spoke to somebody who knew, it was 309 or 310 to the dollar. It's now 312. Eh? What? To the dollar. Not pound. 330. Are you talking about pound sterling? Holy hat. Are you kidding me? I even thought that you God is in control. Tell him God is in control. God is well able. But you know that's what makes people afraid. When you hear dollar three, come on, are you sure? Wow. And I would say no more than 310. Well, praise the Lord. I'm not going to ask what the pound is saying. Let me just leave that one aside. But this is it. Pastor, why you don't tell me? I don't need to go. When you see things like that, when you see the impunity of our leaders, you know, you see what they've been doing, you see what has happened, what is happening, and what seems about to happen again, you know, you say, God, what is all this now? What is this? What is happening? What is, you know? And so, you know, job losses all over the place, threatening people with, you know, sack and all that. And you wonder, say, even your own job too, you're not even sure. You're sure in Jesus' name. Because God is faithful. Amen. But you know, the truth of the matter is, this has happened in the past 2 or 3 days. I've had the privilege. I've spoken to some people, you know, in the past 2 or 3 days. Several people, and they have the same worry. In fact, one of them came to me and said, God, this is a serious matter. That there's been so much travail, so much, you know, for the past, you know, 6 months or so, you know, things have been so difficult. Are we doing something wrong? I said, no, we're not doing anything wrong. It's the times we're in. It's not your fault, though. Get that, debunk your mind. Yeah, no, it's not you. It is the times and the seasons we are in. Somebody came and said that, you know, having paid in a year. I said, what? 1 year. I only 2 years. What? Let them have been paid for 2 solid years. I know. 2 solid years. I said, Lord, my goodness. And it occurred to me that if not for the grace of God. Well, if you look at this, but you won't know. You won't know because Omomorani. Because he's believing and she's believing, they're having faith. But it's staggering. And that is for we who are under covering. Now, can you imagine what people are going through in the earth in Nigeria today who are not under this kind of covering, thank God for the fathers. Can you imagine? So you're saying, you ask, what are we doing wrong? He said, no, it's not you. It's the times and the seasons. The Bible, the pastor gave us that word the other day. Give me Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 6. Verse 6, Jeremiah 36. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. Look what it says. Ask ye now. Come on, guys. Don't let what I just said, get into you. Don't allow it to bother you, okay? God is in control. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Why is he asking this question? Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail? It means that a man is bent over. There's something that is making the man bend over and look as if he's giving birth. The weight of the times, the weight of the difficulties, the weight of the season that they are in. It says he's bent down as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. That's the condition now. Amen. You can also look at this in terms of the Zion church travail, to bring forth. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. That's what's going on right now. That's why things are tight. Very, very tight. Next verse. Alas, for that day. What day is that? This day. That day is great, so that none is like it. This is a Kairos moment in history. There's none like it before, nor shall there ever be unto the years of many generations. There is none like it, it is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But, everybody shout, but, he shall be saved out of it. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Hello, somebody. Yes, there's trouble. Yes, there's paleness of face. Yes, there's a burden. Yes, there's trouble. But God said, he shall be saved out of it. It's a promise. Great distress. But the Bible says you're going to be saved out of it. Now, beloved, I want to go and read a scripture that God gave me. I wasn't even thinking of it. It just came into my mind and I went there and I said, wow. I want to read it to us to show you there's a purpose behind everything. All this has happened to you is not for anything but a purpose. There's something God is trying to achieve. And we already know it, so we're going to just read it through. Give me 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Are we getting something out of this? We set the stage now. We're going to go. Okay. 1 Peter 1, 3. This is it. Verse 3. Yes. Are we there? Now, let's read together. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which has, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again. That begotten is refers to born again. You were brought birth into. All right? Begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 2, verse 4. An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, it's reserved in heaven, but you're going to use it here. Hello, somebody. It's the process of translating it from the heavenlies to here where you need it, where you don't. When we get to heaven, heaven is heaven. But here and now, you need that anointing. You need that inheritance. It says reserved, but you must translate it from the heavens, into you here in the earth. That's what all the contention, all the trouble is about. Hello, somebody. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time. So, God is keeping you by his power until the redemption of the purchased possession. Until your body experiences that thing, nothing will happen to you. Amen. That's what he's saying. Amen. Says you are kept by the power of God unto this inheritance that has been reserved for you in heavenlies. Amen? And it's ready to be revealed now. Now, because of that, verse 6, wherein, in which you greatly rejoice, though now forever. Though now for a season, if need be. And it is necessary. Without travail, there's no bringing forth. If it be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The essence of that is to try and get your focus off the inheritance and the fact that God is keeping you in his power to inherit that inheritance. But they have failed in Jesus' name. Says if you're in season, if it need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Next verse. That the trial, now this is what's going on, folks. That the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. When? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. He's not talking about the rapture. He's talking about the appearing of you first. Whom not having seen you love, in whom though you now see him not in you, in glory, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the purpose. That's why there's so much contention. That's why God is allowing all this. But it's for a season. Yes, you might be in manifold heaviness, but you're going to get the salvation of your soul. That's the end point. Amen. So don't be disappointed. Your expectation will not be cut off. You will not faint in this deal. It's a deal of adversity. True. But the Bible says you will not faint. Your strength will not be small. Because your strength, you're strong in the power of the Lord and of his might in the name of Jesus. So, this is what's happened. This is the purpose of all we're going through, among others, to prepare the background for the rising of the Zion church. And that's why all nations are being shaken. They're being shaken ready for you and I. The Bible says, I will shake all nations, including the nation, the church. The Bible says we are a peculiar nation. The shaking won't pass us by. We are all shaking, travailing. The whole of creation is travailing together, waiting for the manifestation, including ourselves. Amen? The Bible says, I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory. Amen? Like somebody said a long time ago, I never forgot. He said, the darkness and the gross darkness is going to prepare the backlight for the rising of the Zion church. When there's darkness and gross darkness, if you shine a light, that light shines much brighter. And it'll be a signal to the entire world. A new beginning. Fresh beginning. Amen. Gross darkness covers the people. And then the other aspect of the pressure, which I believe they showed me, I don't have a scripture for it, but I know it's true, is that when you're, well, I do have a scripture. When you're together in travail, you're together in adversity. It does something to you. To you who are together with. The people you're together with. I know that because from the leading assessors, I found out that the people we pray with regularly, daily. Oh, I mean, people who spend hours together. Someone who spent days together, you know, during those days in Ijebu. Days and days and days and days praying together. I mean, if I need help from anywhere, those are the guys I'm going to go to. Why? Because our hearts have been fused together. There's been a work of fire done in our hearts together in that place of prayer. So if I need somebody to lean on, there's the guys I go to first. Not that I don't love the others, but they've been proven. Pardon? Thank you. Pastor Wise said, fitly framed together. The Bible says, you are chosen in the furnace of affliction. That furnace of affliction needs you together in the spirit as nothing else can. When you be when you have fought with the beast that Ephesus together, when you have seen the devil tell you face to face that you're not going to make it, and you make it, you thank God for the people that are around you. That's what intercession does. It makes you, it brings you together. I don't know how to describe it, but you know, if you get into intercession a lot, you'll find that it's true. How good and pleasant have for brethren to dwell together in unity. Thank you, Pastor Wally. That's how it is. When you've been through the fire together, you're going to have a relationship that is above the mundane, above the earthly things, the fleshly things. It takes you to a different level. And that's what's happening here. So as you stand together, in one accord, as you stand together in unity under the covering of the house, as we go through this furnace of affliction, we'll find out that all those who go through will be chosen. They'll be chosen vessels for the Lord in this end time. Now, some may decide that they want to delay and not do everything. Well, thank God for that. But you're going to miss out on something great that God is doing. That's why the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You, as much the more so you come to pray together, there's a work of entwining done in our hearts. Amen? The power of the Spirit knits our hearts together so that bone joins to his bone, bone joins to his bone, until you rise as an exceeding great army. One command. That's what's going on, folks. All this is going on in the background as we've seen all these things happen. Amen? Now, here we go. The reason for this message is that I perceive by the Spirit. No, as I said, I had something else prepared entirely. Another message entirely that has nothing to do with this. But as I was just meditating, just waiting upon the Lord, just asking the Lord, okay, this Wednesday, because I never like to be presumptuous. Even though I have a message I prepared, I always ask God, is it, this is what you want to say? Is it? Because it's not my mouth, you see. It belongs to him. It's not my pulpit. It belongs to him. So I have to find out what exactly he wants to say. So I perceive by the Spirit that there are some, maybe not many, but some of us are really feeling this fire of affliction. Some of us are really, really feeling this affliction. And perhaps even some are becoming very heavy and maybe a bit discouraged or disconsolate. Amen? And I spoke about this couple that came to ask me if there was anything they were doing wrong. And I felt so, I felt what they were feeling. I really felt what they were feeling. You know, and the other people I spoke to also, there was a, Lord, what can we do to help these people? And I believe as a result of this, I didn't ask for this message. It just dropped into my heart. You know? So there are challenges, folks. There's nobody's making little of what's going on. Some people have lost their jobs. Some people have, you know, haven't been paid for so long. You know? They're trying to resist the temptation to do something that may not exactly be right because they're under pressure, you know? The Bible says that the righteous will not stretch forth his hand to iniquity. It says the lots of the wicked will not rest upon the Lord of the righteous, lest the righteous stretch forth their hands unto iniquity. You know, these are serious concerns for many in the church now. And thank God for this church, by the grace of God, because of the fathers. There are some churches where they don't even have this kind of consideration. By the grace of God, you know, we've been taught to think in this way. Amen. I want to thank God for the covering of the fathers, because it's their prayers that provide this place of covering and a refuge from all the storms that are going on around us. I discovered that many, many years ago. If you haven't discovered it now, it's true. You're under serious covering here. There's an arsenal of hell out there that isn't even touching you. I'm telling you the truth. When you hear what people get up to in the world, and even in the church, there's some people where you say, Christian, ha? Huh? Because of money. Sell your life, sell your children, sell your bishopric, God forbid, just for a few pieces of mess of pottage. Sell your conscience. Folks, we are shielded in this household. What people outside are contending with is enormous on a daily basis. But what happens is that when Pastor Mommy pray, you know, the covering comes upon and then there's an amelioration. It may not take away everything. It probably won't take away everything, but it will take up a way enough for you to focus upon what's going on. That's why you can still come to church. Everything has not broken down. That's covering. That's the grace of God supplied to what you have done to bring you into a place of at least a semblance of rest and peace. Amen. Amen. But there may not be many. There may be many because, you know, this is a strong time. Now, because of the fathers, you know, like I said, we are protected. But I know there's some who are weak at this time and who are in need. I want you to say a word from the Lord. God, give me a word. Say, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Don't allow this moments of weakness. You know, even the Lord Jesus had his moment of weakness. Gethsemane. He had his moment of weakness. Also, there's a time he was on the boat, he fell asleep. He was a man like you and I. But he says, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. What kept him without sin was the fact that he was constantly in communion with God. There were temptations for him too, just like there will be to you. He will not fall in Jesus' name. And I believe the Lord gave me some words. There's so many scriptures I could do, but there's some that he gave to me. We're going to start with Isaiah 35. We read it earlier. Isaiah 35, verse 4 and 6 again. Quickly, Isaiah 35. It says, say to them, and I'm saying to all of us here now, that I have a fearful heart. If your heart is fearful, receive this word from the Lord. This is the word. These are the words that the Lord gave me specifically for those who are feeling the pinch, who are feeling the pressure, who are suffering under this time of stricture, this time of Jacob's trouble. It says, to them I fear for not. The Lord says, be strong. Fear not. Behold, I, your God, will come with a vengeance upon your enemies and with a recompense to you, and he will come and he will save you. Amen. You will be saved out of it. Amen. You will be delivered. Look at Psalm 30, verse 5. Very familiar verse, this one. Psalms 30, verse 5. For his anger endures but for a moment, in his favor is life. Now this is where I'm going. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy, how many of you know what joy? The joy of the Lord comes in the morning. So there may be a time when, you know, things like, look, for those people I spoke about who are finding things difficult, yeah, there's a time of, you know, deprivation, a time of weeping, a time when things aren't going, but man says joy. Joy. It will only endure for a moment, a night, but joy will surely come in the morning. Amen. Don't worry, God is in control. And he loves you and he wants you to know that he appreciates what you're going through. He sees, like that song, he sees each tear that falls. Amen. And he hears you when you call. He's hearing you. He's working your purpose out in your life now. Amen. Psalms 126 is like it also. Psalms 126 verse 5 and 6. I love this one too. So they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Next verse. He that goes forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless, everybody say doubtless, doubtless, without a shadow of doubt, come again with what? Rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Harvest. Thank you, Prof. That's what I was just going to say. Harvest. All he took was seed out. He wasn't sure whether there was going to be a harvest or not, but God said, doubtless, you're going to come back. Just keep sowing. Keep sowing. Keep sowing. Keep putting something out. Keep putting something out. Keep sowing seed. One day, all that you sow will be your harvest. That says, doubtless. Amen? Are we getting the picture, folks? Amen? Number one, the next one is like it. These are just scriptures that the Lord put in my heart as I was preparing this message. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Another familiar scripture. Like I said, there's no new thing here today, but just to bring this message of hope to all of us here, and particularly those who are, you know, under scripture. This is lovely. I love this one. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. They have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But, everybody shout this, but God is faithful. But God is faithful. But God is faithful. He's not a man to lie. Who will not suffer? Let's read it. Who will not suffer? He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Hello, somebody. This is the word of the Lord to you. Don't worry. God is in control. I'm saying that. I'm not just saying that as a cliche. He really is. He truly is in control. But says your life is hid in Christ with God. There's nothing you're going through now that God is not aware of. And the fact that he's allowing it means you will overcome it. Otherwise, he won't allow it. Says he will not allow you to be tempted about what you are able. In other words, in this temptation you're going through, God through you is able. And so you are able. Amen. Big brother God is fighting on your behalf. And guess who will win? He will. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to close with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, quickly. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. having said all this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye on sometimes. Are you sure? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Stop there. What is the work of the Lord? Somebody asked the same question Jesus in John chapter 6. He said, what shall we do that may work the works of God? He says, believe on the name of him who has sent. And when you believe, you receive life. Use that life to perfect the love of God. So that's the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know. How many people know? How many people know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord? Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Hello, folks. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Always. You see, God cannot lose. It's not possible. He can't lose. The person that loses is the person that's not connected properly to God. So if you keep that connection, you are a winner no matter what happens. No matter what you go through. Though you walk through the valley, shadow of the valley of death, you will not have to fear evil. Notice you're not walking in, you're walking through. He's not going to leave you there. He will never leave you there. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, I may boldly say, I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. We get in the picture, folks. Last one. This is a good one. Hebrews chapter 10, 35. Some of us have been meditating upon these words for years. It's just stuck in their craw. As I mentioned in Pastor Ibrahim, is just resounding the words. Hallelujah. Amen. 35. Hey, where are you? 35. You should know that automatic. Hello? Hey, thank you. Let's read it together. Cast not away therefore your confidence, faith, which has great recompense of reward. Next verse. For you have need of patience, consistency, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. It's coming, folks. It's going to come. Next verse. For yet a little while. Remember what we said earlier? Though it tarry, yet it will come. So wait for it. Says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Even though it looks like he's tarrying. Wait for it. Next verse. Now, the just shall... How many people are just? Yeah. Now the just shall live by faith. That's how we're going to live. It's by faith. But if any man draw back, God says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Next verse. But, thank God, but we are not of them. Tell your neighbor, I am not of them. I am not of them that draw back unto perdition. I am of them that believe to the total salvation of my soul. Hallelujah. That those are your credentials. You're not of those that turn back unto perdition, unto sin, but you continue. Thank you. Oh, good. This is good. Thank you. We are not quitters who lose out. Oh, no. I like that. We'll stay with it and survive. Better than survive and flourish. Trusting all the way. Give a lot of clap offering. Hallelujah. This is it. This is it, folks. This is what the Lord has me say today. Now, many other scriptures we could use, but you get this picture. Basically, God has your back. Now, this is for the one side. This is for the side of those who are feeling a little weak, you know, who the pressure is a little bit much for, you know. But God is on your side, amen? For those who are in distress in this present season, maybe not many, but enough for God to, you know, God cares about everybody. God loves you so much. He doesn't want anything to affect you, you know. He wants you to know that He's got your back. He's not going to let you go. The only way, He will not even let you go. You got to let go. He won't let you go. But you will not let go in Jesus' name. Because your redemption is so close. Just there. Amen. But I also bring the word for those who are a little bit stronger. Hallelujah. And you did it all by yourself. By the mercy of God, it is not your doing. Not by might, not by power. Not of him that willeth, nor of him that yeah, you're a little stronger. You are not in trouble as some people may be. Amen. It's his mercy. It's his mercy. Because truly, folks, these are perilous times. Amen. Very perilous times. The devil is looking to see whom he devour. He will not devour you. But God wants to give a word to you too. And this is where we come to the beginning, where we start at the beginning. Say, God wants you, all such in our midst now, to look upon the needs of others and to reach out to meet your brethren's need. Hello, somebody. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. We read it at the beginning, so I'm not going to go back there. You can go check it back in the book of Hebrews. But give me Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. It's so interesting. This is what comes just before the Lord Jesus Christ when he's talking about the mindset we should have. But he says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things. Give me this in Amplified. I think I saw it in Amplified. It was interesting. Give me this in Amplified. Let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interests, but also each for the interests of others. Hello, somebody. What God is saying here is that, look, it's okay with you, fine. But don't just sit back. Say, it's okay, look for someone else that you can add something to. Look, see what's happened. Be sensitive to what's going on with other people. Don't just assume. Let me see what it says in the NIV, quickly. See what it says in NIV, please. Thank you. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, thank God for that, but also look to the interests of others. Amen. This is God's word to us, folks. Amen? All right, so how do we do this? First of all, let's make the assumption that, number one, we are already using the blood. Because you see, the root of this is divine love. That's why I said provoking each other to love and then good works. So it has to be, you can't do this in the flesh. Lots of churches are doing that, but we won't do that. So the essence is you must already be using the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect the love of God in your lives, because divine love is the foundation. Amen? Love is the fulfillment of the law. All right? So, and you're actually becoming more conformed daily to the image of Jesus Christ, driving the sin nature from your soul, mind, will, and emotions. The reason is very simple, because divine love, like I said, is the foundation. And divine love is the underlying part of how to care for those in the midst of the kind of tribulation and the kind of, you know, pressure that they are going through now. What is love? Love is God's wisdom to discern, his compassion to see, and his compassion to feel, and then his power to do what God would do in every situation. And you must have divine to us. It's divine wisdom, because there's a wisdom of the world. Then it's divine compassion. There's a compassion of the world. And there's divine power. There's a power in the world you can use. But that will not be divine love. So it all has to be divine. But the essence is, you must desire by divine wisdom. You must discern by divine wisdom. Desire by divine compassion. And then do by divine power what God would do in every situation. Because God is love. So you can't even help other people unless you yourself are advancing in love. Or let me put it this way. You can't help them as God would want you to. And that's what happens many times. Things that are supposed to have been an assistance end up being a stumbling block. But if you have the divine wisdom, you'll be able to see how far to go, what to do, what not to do. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, all right. Now, give me John chapter 15, verse 13. Quickly, please. We're closing down now. Help me, Lord. I'm going to close in another few minutes. John 15, verse 13. This is the Lord Jesus himself speaking. What did he say? It says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. He's talking about friends, he's also talking about brethren. So you lay your lives down for brethren who are weaker by being sensitive to the Holy Spirit to discern what they need by divine wisdom, allowing divine compassion to spur you into praying for them by the Spirit. This is the foundation. Primarily, this is how we are to respond to their needs. You know, when I said prayer, something just hit me. I said, this one, it seems like a paradox in the sense that, can't you just help without praying? Not that you should not help physically, but you see, the foundation is to pray for them. That's what we do by the grace of God every month when we pray for the, you know, divine protection, we pray for provision, divine provision for all. That's what we do. And then it's on the basis of that we can now step out and help and do, you know, different acts of goodness and kindness all over. That's what we do corporately. You can also do this. No, you can't. You should also do the same individually. So you don't just lash out and, you know, because, folks, sometimes good intentions do not achieve the end because it's not done in divine love. It can happen. And it does happen a lot. Thank you. Give your body to burn if you have not love. Thank you, Pastor D. That's the word I'm looking for. If you have not divine love, it profits nothing both to you or to the person. Amen? So, this is, start with prayer. So you work on the individual basis. You pray, you know, specifically for other people. Very important. Because when you pray, God begins to speak to your heart concerning that person's core need. And he'll tell you what to do or what not to do. Do you understand? But it should not end there. Thank God for prayer. I'm by the grace of God. You know I believe in prayer. And I do it by the grace of God. But it should not end there. And the Bible, when I was saying that God just gave me two heavy scriptures. And I want to share with us and begin to close. First of all, James chapter 2, verse 15. You already know the first prophet. If a brother or sister be naked. Hello, somebody. We are talking to ourselves here today. Hallelujah. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, it has problems. This is a real thing. It happens. Next verse. And one of you say to them, hallelujah. Depart in peace. Don't prophesy, Neil. Prophesy. They might not get food, not get anything. We could chop. He said, depart in peace. Be warmed. Be filled. I'm praying for that. And the man goes, I said, where was you, my brother? God is in control. And notwithstanding, you give them not those things that are needful to the body, what doth it profit, whether you or them? Next verse. Even so, faith, you be praying for them. If it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Next one. I want to close it. Let me say, I'll see what I want to say with close. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Hereby. Now, this is God's, this is how God sees love. This is God's definition of love in action. Hereby perceive we the love of God. No, is this right? I think I got it right. Yes, it's right. Yeah. We ought to lay down our lives for the brother. We already said that. Amen? By prayer, by, you know, discerning by wisdom, divine wisdom, you know, feeling by divine compassion, and then using divine power to bring, you know, the answers to what they need. Okay, so you ought to lay down your life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the next verse. Next verse. But, I love this. This is it. But, whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have a need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? The answer is it doesn't. Not to the degree it should. Hello, somebody. So we see by these scriptures, we are expected by God to supply physical and material needs also to the spiritual. Amen. It doesn't go all spiritual alone. There must be a balance, however. That's what I was trying to say. You don't want to get too spiritual, you don't give the physical. You don't want to go overboard with the physical like some do. And all they do is just give physical. There's no prayer, there's nothing. It must be undergirded by divine love. Which means that's the, like we said at the beginning, you know, when we're reading Hebrews chapter 10. The first stop is love, and then from that love, you do good works. Amen? I want to thank God for the exemplary lives of our fathers in this house. I've seen Pastor Oni do some strange things in terms of love, charity. Their giving is unprecedented. I mean, I've been watching them for years now. Watching them for years and they have not changed. Hello, somebody. They are rooted and grounded in divine love. That's why they know exactly what to do and what not to do every time. All of us have eaten from them, one way or the other. Even if you don't know it, you have. Hello, somebody. The covering alone is more than what you can get in most churches. Many churches don't have it. Then apart from that, the blessing. Look at this place. Look at this place. You come here every day. You are comfortable. You are no stress, nothing. They've made sure that security is all around you, you know. And if you have a need, you go to them, and you get something. You get, you know, an answer. They never turn you away. You're their people. You're their children. They've been doing it for years. They're thinking about you. Things that you don't even know they're thinking about you for. That's how parents are. That's how our parents are. We give God the glory. But they do this because they have entered a place where their love is now made perfect. And that's why, and you can see the result. I mean, you don't have to go far to see the results. Amen. So let's follow the example. The Bible says that ye that follow after righteousness, look unto Abraham and Sarah, the rock from whence you are hewn. We must follow the example. That example of giving. And I've said to myself, me, I want that gristle. That grace of giving. I know I don't have it yet. You know, I'm not kidding myself. I know I don't have it yet. Maybe that's why I'm not, you know, such man. But I've coveted. And I'm praying towards it now. I'm actively praying for that grace. Because ultimately, you know, you have to be able to touch the lives of others. It's good to pray. You pray. But then there's a part when you minister. You reach out, and like we say in those days, you reach out and touch them. That's it, folks. Amen? So, let's give liberally, cheerfully to the needs of others, and God will multiply back unto you. Amen? And by this, I wrote here, and by that, we tap into the economy of heaven. Oh, boy. The economy of heaven is not like the one we're operating here. This one, you know, you have to keep as much as you can. You don't let anything go, you don't have to let go. That's why they always be poor. But the economy of heaven says give when you don't have. Hello? Give especially when you don't have. Nobody said amen. That's where it begins, folks. You give when you don't have. Because it is what you give, and God will multiply that. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure pressed with the same measure that you meet, it shall be ministered back to you. Amen. But thank God it's not the amount, it's the proportion. It's not giving millions. I know people have given millions of naira in this church, and they're reaping the fruits. Just kidding to Pastor Mommy's example. Bash. And we are seeing the fruits in their lives. Millions without hoping for a return. But you know how God is. God will never owe you. He will never owe you. So if you put your treasure in his hands, he will multiply back unto you manifold. Amen. Amen. Oh, this is it. It's already happening. So you can do that to meet the needs of other people. Now, as I say, it's not the amount. Help me, Lord. It's not the amount. But I know something very sure. When you reach out and you touch somebody who has a need, who is not even expecting it from you or anybody, you make God real to that person. It's happened to me so many times. And I say, it's not the amount. Sometimes I get so worked up and I'm thankful and I'm like crying. I say, Lord, why did you do this to me? I really appreciate it. The money is good, but it's not the money. It's the fact that somebody, God touched somebody, and that person chose to obey and let me know that God is thinking on me. Hello, somebody. That's the great thing. That's what God wants us to do. I know we're doing it to a measure, but he wants now to increase. Once you now to receive that every member grass in the field will know that God is available, that God is thinking on them. You know, that's too much. Sometimes it's been, 2009, an envelope, bus. But I said, Lord, thank you. And she said, well, you give thanks to? Another thing, what's ready? That will not be your portion. Yeah. You will never do that. You know, someone just comes, and just, you know, God is so good. So he just puts the dosage inside the, maybe too embarrassed to come and give me personally because it's only 2,000 naira. To them it's not much, but to me it's a gift from heaven. And that's how I see it. And I'm rejoicing. I'm thanking you, Lord. You're so good. I really appreciate it. This is just, sometimes I have a need. I didn't say to anybody. And thus, either somebody else sends it to me or it just drops in the offering. I want to say, I'm not asking for myself. Oh. Get that right. I just flash. I'm asking for me. God is taking care of my needs. But I'm saying there are people among us who may not be able to give you an idea of what's going on with them. We need to be sensitive. That's what I'm trying. We need to be sensitive. We need to, you know what we do sometimes when God nudges you, you say, Mumbo. Give it. You don't know what that is going to do for that person that day. That very day needed a touch. It will not be the amount. It was what just that God heard. And Lord, he's hearing that God, you're on my case. And I know you did this. You're going to do the rest too. Just a touch. I don't know if I'm getting through to us. This is great stuff. It's apart from tithes and offering. This is apart from tithes. Your tithes and offerings are secure. Scatter it. Thank you. Bible says, he that withholdeth more than is meet and attendeth to poverty. It's not the amount, it's the love. Let him have a touch. Let him know God is in your case. Not to say a word. Not to say anything. Sometimes all it takes is a hug. Somebody greets you. Yeah. How is it? Well, bless you. Lord bless you. I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. It is well with you. God will see you through. That's all. I know it happens to me. When pastor does that to me, and you know, it's like cold water. Just refreshes. Wow. God cares. God cares. It's great. There's nothing that beats it. Amen. I'm going to close. Two scriptures. Help me now. We got something out of this. I want to say one last thing. It is accepted according to that which a man hath, not according to what you don't have. God is not expecting you to go and bust your bank to do this. If he tells you to do it, do it too. Because he's planning on filling you back up manifold. What I'm saying is that, you know, it's not compulsion. It's according to what you have. What you have. And God will receive it, breathe upon it, and it will multiply back to you. The Bible says it causes all grace to abound towards you, so you always have all sufficiency in all things to abound unto every good work. No lack. Your gardens are overflowing. Okay, quickly. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Quickly. Proverbs chapter 3, 9 and 10. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy... This is why I said tithe and offering. This is not when we're talking about tithe and offering. We're talking about honoring your substance. Amen? The substance, this should make it substantial if you can. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruit of all thine increase. One is gifts, One is tithes and offerings. Next verse. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Notice a twofold. There's tithes and then the gifts and offerings. Amen. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Revelation. New wine is revelation. That's why some people get revelation and others don't. So he that sweareth the flesh shall reap corruption, but he that sweareth the spirit shall receive life. And that life, in that life, is light of revelation. Finally, Psalms 41, verse 1 and 3. This is a good one. I love this one. Psalms 41, 1. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of Jacob's trouble. See where God brought the back to. Next verse. The Lord will preserve him and will keep him alive. And he, and not just him, but all that pertaineth to him, shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies, because he considereth the poor. The next verse says, in his bed of languishing. You will not have a bed of languishing. That's why I'm not reading that. But the essence is this. This is what God, he's looking for people to fulfill the scripture. Make yourself blessed. Make yourself. I didn't want to read this verse. Because I don't believe in bed of languishing. Nobody's languishing in bed in this place. Eh? You're all strong in the Lord, the power is mine. Go back to verse 1. Go back to verse 1, please. Eh? Obey my instruction, please. I will talk to you about rightly dividing the word. We don't want to divide that far. Blessed is he that considereth, brother, will deliver. God will deliver you in time of trouble. Whenever there's trouble, because you consider, you know what? God will keep you alive because he knows that he can use you to affect the life of others. So he will not allow anything to happen to you, anything to disturb. Folks, I think it's a good deal. Amen. So this is it, folks. The Lord wants us in this season of great trials, in this time of Jacob's trouble, consider one another to provoke ourselves first to love, which is the foundation, and then from there to good works and noble deeds to edify the body by that which every joint supplies. And the Lord give us understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. So speak to the Lord, and I trust you'll be able to get something out of this. A bit longer than I thought, but God has had mercy. Amen. I just ask the Lord to help us, really. Because really, all these things we've spoken today is not of him that willeth, truly is of him that helpeth us and has mercy. But we have to make up our minds that there's something we want to do. It's actually an admonition. It's actually a command. Especially in this day, as you see the day coming. Much the more so, you see the day coming. Like we said, the day is not just coming, it's actually upon us. It's here. So these things become even more paramount now. By the grace of God, we will hearken and we will obey in Jesus' name. It's all by mercy. Mercy, grace, and help. The power of the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect divine love, and from the vantage of divine love, do what God will do in every situation, perceiving, discerning by divine wisdom, feeling by divine compassion, and executing and performing by divine power what God would do in every such situation. Doing good works and touching the lives of all the people around us. Edifying the whole body in love by that which you supply. Hallelujah. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Teach us your ways, O Lord, my God, and we will walk in your truth. Give us that we may feel. put a hand upon our minds, because that's where it all is. A mental paradigm shift. And a raising of the other hand up to the Lord. As we can respond to the word tonight. Say, Father, we confess our sins. And so we claim with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have life. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that has come tonight to remind me that in this season of the time of Jacob's trouble, you want us to provoke one another to love and to good works and noble deeds, each one of us looking out for the other members of the body who may be weaker or in need, so fulfilling, O Lord, your royal law of love. I thank you for reminding me of this, and that the essence of living is giving, and giving itself is living. Thank you for the example of my fathers in this house. And so I've come to beseech you for mercy, Lord. You will help me, Lord God, to, by the blood, the word, and the spirit, perfect myself in the love of God, and therefore be even more sensitive to the needs of others, my brethren, and all those whom you send me to, so that by divine wisdom I will discern, by divine compassion I will feel what you feel on their behalf, and also by divine power, Lord, you will enable me to do all of your will, to alleviate, Lord God, their time of suffering, so edifying the body by that which I supply. I thank you, Lord God, because as I pray for them, you help me to have all that is needful to help them to arise and to take their place in your purpose in this end time church that you're preparing for your glory. I thank you, Lord. You help me to make you real in the lives of other brethren. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I have to say one last thing. If you will take up this challenge, if you will do this thing, God will expand you and he will enlarge you and you will never ever be the same. We have a witness and a testimony in our fathers and those who have tapped into that particular anointing in this house. God wants to change you and make you a blessing. But you have to stop where you are now. Doesn't matter. It's going to be a little, but stop there. God will multiply your seed sown and give you all grace to continue to abound. Once he knows you're serious, he will do it. Lord bless you.